together. You know, that's why the Bible says to come together, because it encourages one another as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I tell you, it is good to be together with you today. I pray that the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning. Amen. That everything that you touch will be blessed by God and anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. If you take your Bibles, let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
As
this word
brings life
to my spirit. In Jesus' name. There's no other book like your Bible. I don't care how good the book is. It's still secondary to the Word of God. No matter who it is, no matter where it comes from, it's second to the Word of God, the Bible. Okay? Second. And they have some great books, good Christian books out there. Great Christian books out there. But it's all secondary to the Word of God. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. Page 903. Amen. Let's start reading at verse 3, if you would. Look down at verse 3. And we'll read till 9, okay? King David wrote this psalm of scripture. And I know, he's the one that penned it down, but it was the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him as he wrote these scriptures. And in verse 3 it says this, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them who fear him, and delivers them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them who fear him. Here King David is declaring and telling us to magnify him and to praise him. And there's some other stuff we'll get into. But as we read the first few verses, King David, and we know King David, he made some mistakes, but I tell you what, that was a man of God too. He made some mistakes. Who hasn't? Okay? He repented of his sin. God used this man to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, you can't go too far in the world that God can't save you and bring you back. In God, there's no lost cause. Thank the Lord. Because some of us, we seem like we want a lost cause. I mean, really. But with God, there's no lost cause with Him. Even when David, my God, had a man killed, took his wife, had a baby out of wedlock, all kinds of stuff. God still used that man because of his heart towards God. But he had to do something, though. He could just go on and live like he was doing. He had to go before God and repent and ask God to forgive him for doing the things that he did. You know, we think, well, God forgives. Yes, he does if we go to him. He will forgive if we ask him to. His blood is ever to be ready to be shed upon our hearts and lives and to forgive us if we call upon him. But we have to do the action first. He calls, we repent, he forgives. He gives new life where there was old life. He gives success where there was defeat. That's the power of our God. But David is saying in the first part of this chapter that we are to magnify him and praise him. My Lord. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know, God expects us to praise him. Amen. You know that? We are to praise the name of our God. We are to praise our God. That means we got to open our mouths. Tell him how much you care about him. Exalt his name. Exalt your God by yourself and as we gather together to exalt him, to praise him, to magnify God because of what he is and who he is. It says, and I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, God hears us. Don't ever buy into the idea that God does not hear you when you pray. You might say, well, Pastor, I've been praying about something and I haven't heard yet, nothing yet. Well, maybe it's not time for God to move. Or maybe we need to change our prayers or something. We know it's not on God's side, so it has to be on our side some. But it says, David says, God hears our prayers. God knows the things you are praying about. You know, God even knows, and I know this happens to me a lot. You know, you're sleeping and you turn over during the night. It's 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And you'll just say, Lord, and you say something. I mean, really, I know I pray at night. Sometimes I'm praying in tongues at night. You don't even know sometimes. Even those prayers that we silently pray at times, God hears those prayers, people. That we don't have to wonder, well, does God hear my prayer? And you don't have to do much of anything for God to hear your prayer. But to have a heart towards him and letting God move in you and through you. Letting God do the things that he wants to do. But he hears your prayers. He hears those things that you pray about that keeps you up at night. He hears those things that you pray about during the day. As you drive in your vehicle. Whatever you're doing, working. God hears those prayers and he wants to do what he desires and wants done. And he has to use people. It's an amazing thing, people. God has chosen to use the human race to bring about the Godhead's perfect will upon the earth. Now, you might say, well, doesn't he use angels? Yes, he does, to bring back and to protect and do sometimes a message, whatever. But I tell you what, he has chosen humanity to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ upon the earth. He wants to use human beings, their money, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ because it takes money. God hears your prayers. Don't ever let the devil convince you otherwise. God may not answer today or tomorrow or next year or in 5 years, however he wants to do it. But I tell you what, every single prayer that you have prayed, God hears it and it's stored up. You can read in Revelations about the bowls of the prayers of the saints. Many, many saints praying. Here David is believing and seeing. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord encamped round about them who fear him and delivers them. My Lord, people. My Lord, people. The angel, it's a capital A. That should catch your attention. We all fool around with the little A's, but we got the big A. And the big A represents our God. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them who fear him. That means not a just a reverence for him, that worship him and love him and desire his will. Look, the devil will try to make the church believe that the devil's in charge of everything upon the earth, and he's not. That our God is in control. Our God is the one that can let things happen or not. Let me tell you this, as children of the living God, and we are sons and daughters of the living God. You're not just some servant out there doing whatever. We have been called by God. We have been delivered by God. And when he calls and delivers and sets us free, the power of Almighty God is upon our hearts and upon our lives. He encamps around about us. My God, that means everywhere you go. The angel of the Lord has been encamped around about. That means he's going nowheres. That every step you take, he's round about. Ooh, people that no evil could come our way. And if it does come, it just like Job, because things happen, it's been allowed by God, and it's for a purpose and a reason. Huh? Because you know what? Our God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God the Father, is in charge of all things upon the earth and in our hearts and in our lives. We can be comforted to know that every time we wake up in the morning, that we're not just waking up by ourselves. But let me tell you, the angels are waiting. God is waiting. And he's encamped around about us saying, come on, get up, because I need to hear the praise and the worship of my race, the human race. And as we magnify him and praise him, he encamps around about. That means he's going nowhere, just around you. Protecting you from the evil of this world. Protecting us from the harm of this world. That we can rely upon him and what he's done at Calvary's cross, people. David got to that place where he said, my God encamps around about me because I fear him. There's got to do the part, though. We better fear him. See, God says, do this, then we have thus. If we don't have fear towards God, we cannot expect God to encamp around about us. And that fear is a reverence towards him, a love towards him, a magnifying and a praise and a worship towards God. Look at this. Praise God. We are not in this battle alone, people. From the time you got saved, you gave your heart to the Lord, he accepted us, and we become his. We are his, people. We are his. And there's no demon in hell. There's no Satan himself. There's no evil in this world that can snatch us out of the hands of God. We are so secure that sometimes we don't realize how secure we are. Now, I'm not talking about eternal security. Not that. But we are secure in him as we keep the fear and the reverence and the love towards our God. As we keep pursuing him no matter what. Galatians chapter 4 verse 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir from heir through God. Look, when you got saved, before you and I were slaves to sin. We were slaves to evil. And you might not want to think of that like that, but you and I were. But something changed. Something, and the change was Jesus came into our hearts and came into our lives. That changed our direction. That changed our hearts. That changed our lives. And you know what? We are now sons and daughters of the King. We have been engrafted into the vine by Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. People, that's something to shout about. An inheritance comes to the children of God. That's just like on the natural earth. Your inheritance goes to who? Your children. Your sons and your daughters, most of the time. That's just like our Lord. We've become sons and daughters of the living God. We've become heirs unto him. That he's coming back. And one of the promises is that the rapture, he's coming for his people. He's coming for us one day. That's the kind of God we serve. That he says, I will not leave them alone, but I will send a comforter. And he did that. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. But also he says, in the last days, one last day, I will come for my people and get them out of here and do a mighty work. Praise God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. We've become sons and daughters of the living God, engrafted in the vine, and now we have all the privileges because of what Jesus did. Let me tell you, nothing of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, that gave us every privilege in the Word, just like any Jew would have. When you accepted Christ, you can use his Word. After you accepted Christ, you can believe his Word. You can attain his blood. And you can claim the privileges of the Word of God and the promises because of what he said in this Word. That we can take that Word and we can read the Scriptures and claim the things that we see that are ours. My God. And you know what? The devil cannot go to God or go to Jesus because he still has a little access there. And he's the accuser of the brethren. That means he accuses you day and night before the throne room of heaven, telling God all kinds of stuff. And he can't say he's not your son or he's not your daughter. Because all the father has to do is turn to the right and say, look, my son, look at the scars in his hands. And look at the scars in his feet. Who did he do that for? For y'all and me. And old Slewfoot has to back off. Everything's won, people, at the cross. Everything is won at the cross. Everything. The power of Almighty God coming into a person's life, changing their hearts, changing their lives, giving them a new direction. The power of Almighty God. The privileges that we have. Just as the prodigal son took everything he had that he thought was his. The father then bucked against him. He gave him everything. Here you go. And we know what happened to the prodigal son. We know he took off. He spent every dime everything he had, everything. Sin will bring you lower than you want to go. And it will destroy our lives. Now you might say, well, Pastor, we're not sinless. Oh, I know that. But we all have a direction and a head towards Christ. You might say, well, I'm not perfect. No one is except Christ. But it says that he took everything and he went and he spent it all, people. Spent it all. And in one day he looks at some food for pigs and says, he came to his senses and said, you know, in my father's house they eating better than this. And he came back and he started towards his father. And let me tell you, the Father loves you and I so much. And that is a reflection of the Heavenly Father towards an individual that doesn't know God or once knew God and left. I mean, it can be God in Israel. I mean, a reflection of a lot of things. But as the Father prepared for his son to come home one day, the Father's preparing for us. One day, we'll be home with him. We'll leave this whole earth for a while. Now, we'll come back, but we'll leave for a while. And as that son started to come back home, the father on that porch looked and said, that's my son. It says the father ran to the son. Every time we may drift a little way from God, he's looking to us. And he's trying to catch our attention. And I'm not saying bad. I'm not talking about bad. You know, sometimes just life. Sometimes. Maybe you're not reading as much, praying as much, doing, you know, whatever. But the Father keeps looking and keeps drawing his people. Keeps drawing his people because he loves us so much. He loves you and I. And when the Father gets our attention, and that young boy sort of down that road, he didn't know exactly what the Father would do. He thought he would just be a hard hand, but not the Father. The Father started running, and when he got to him, he kissed his neck, put a robe on him, some new sandals, put a ring on his hand, on his finger. He was saying, you're my seed. Let me tell you, God has given us privileges because of who he is, people. Keep pursuing. Keep running towards God in a spiritual aspect. Don't be laxed in your relationship to the Lord. Let's say, what do you mean? Don't be laxed. Pursue God in the things that he has for you. Because you see, we might think we've arrived where we think we kind of, but let me tell you, there's always more. There's always more to God. There's always a little bit more. And no telling what God wants to do in each and every one of us. Praise God. Amen. That's what's, what's a good thing? His work is never finished. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because once we get over something, there's always something else. There's always something else that God has to deal with in us and through us. And thank God he wants to deal with us. And he wants to do those things that need to be done. As we look to him, and he moves upon our hearts, and he moves upon our souls. You see, we need the Spirit of God like we've never needed him before, especially in these days. It's the Spirit of God that will keep us close to the Father through Jesus Christ. We need him to move upon us. We need for him to help us to do the things that he calls us to do. You know, it took faith. And it takes faith when God speaks to you about something. It takes faith to believe that what he spoke to you is going to happen when you see no evidence of it, huh? As the children of Israel walked up to the Red Sea, they saw no evidence of the Red Sea opening up. All it took was one man to believe. One man. And his compadre, his helper. Which God really didn't want. Whatever. But he got it. You know, don't give God excuses when he wants you to do some things. And look, we all got the excuses. I mean, look. Moses was one, I can't speak, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do... And couldn't God heal all that? God knew what Moses had, whatever. But can you imagine, at the Red Sea, God says, Moses, point your rod. Okay. Pointed the rod, and you have millions of people watching, and it just opens. I wonder, I know I would, probably would have just stood there in amazement. Oh. Because how many, you know, think back, you know, of when God did something for you. I mean, something amazing. Something that, you know, if God didn't do it, no one could do it. Think back to those things. One, two, could be last week, last month, last year, whatever it is. When you think back to what God did, that builds your faith in your God. And you're saying, Lord, if you could do it back then, you could do it today. Amen. There's nothing too difficult for God. At all. If he can open the Red Sea, he can open whatever needs to be opened in your life. He can settle things. He can heal things. He can provide, you know, whatever needs to be done. That we serve the Almighty God that created all things upon the earth. Hallelujah. We shall never limit God to what he can or cannot do. When we limit God, we're putting a stop on our faith, and we can't put a stop on our faith. We got to trust God with everything within us. We trust the Lord that he will open up a way that can't be opened. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. But with God, there seems to be no way is where he's at. Amen. And he can make a way. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Some of you are believing God for things. Don't stop believing God for those things. Amen. Your answer might be right around the corner, or your miracle might be right around the corner. Let God do what needs to be done in order to get those things that he wants you to have. Whatever it may be. Now, we don't serve God to get things. At all. We serve God because we love him. And we desire him in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's see. Sons, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6, 637. Hallelujah to the King, people. Thank you, Lord. Come on now, let's shout unto the Lord. Praise God. This is not a cemetery. Amen. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. God wants us to taste our God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look, no matter what, He's good. When we're flying high, He's good. When we're as low as dirt, He's good. When we have a lot of money, He's good. When we can't pay our bills, He's good. And you might say, well, man, is He a God of poor? No. But sometimes that's the only way He can get our attention. But you see, God is a God who provides as we trust in Him. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13, please, starting there. It says, and he said, go and spy where he, Elisha, talking about Elisha, is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they who is with us are more than they who is with them. Stop right there for a minute. People, situations come our way. But when we put in the hands of God the situation that is upon our lives, let me tell you, God will move. Here we see Elisha and his servant. And these people were coming after Elisha because they said he was spying out and telling the king all kind of stuff, whatever. But the people were upset with him. And they came and they gathered around about. And the servant said, oh my, oh, this does not look good. And Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of the servant. God encamps around his people. Oh, y'all. God encamps around his people. God encamps around his people. We can trust him. We can trust him. We can trust him. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your possessions. You can trust him with the things that you have because he is trustworthy. He encamps around about. Open our eyes to see. One time, I might have told this already, but it's okay. Someone called me on the phone years ago, about 10 years, might be more than that. And they were saying, you know, I passed in front of your house. Oh, I said, oh, okay. And they said, we saw something, though. I said, well, what did you see? You kind of like, okay, you know. They said, we saw angels just going around your house. Just flying, just going around and around and around and around. I said, thank you. You see, that's God commissioning and encamping around as we put our faith and trust in Him. That doesn't mean that things won't break, okay? It's all man-made. I don't care how good it is. Men, you got your duct tape. That solves everything. Duct tape. But God is in control and encamped. Open the eyes of my servant. He saw. Yes, the company came. But he saw the angels around about. Gosh, people. People. Don't think you're alone. And let me tell you, the devil tried to put that on God's people. that they're alone. No, you're not alone. Number one, you have God. Number two, you have Jesus. Number three, you have the Holy Spirit. And then you have the angels commissioned around about you. That's God taking care of his children. Just fear God. Give him the praise and worship and the honor. Obey his word and let God do a mighty work. And see what God can do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's so good to us, people. He's so good to us. Even in the midst of our troubles, he's good to us. Even in the midst of trouble, huh? He's good to us. See, what the devil tries to do, let me tell you, he'll try to erode your faith in your God. Whew. That's what he tries to do. That's why, you know, this will try to happen, you know, and we know our God is in control no matter what. Our God is in control. But what the devil tries to do is erode our faith in our God so that we slip down and don't even have faith in him anymore. Some of the worst enemies of the gospel are people that once knew God or once grew up in church. Sometimes these are the worst enemies of the things of God because their heart becomes hard towards God. And you see, we got to do everything we can not to allow the enemy to erode our faith in our God, to bring it. Now you might say, well, you know, maybe I don't believe maybe like I once did. But you see, sometimes we don't realize that everything we're going through, that God allows us to go through, is for a reason to build our faith in our God. That's just like Job, people. Job, my God, you want to talk about a man that could have gave up hope and faith in his God? Like this man, losing all his children, losing everything he had? The richest man at that time? Who gave to the poor and helped and did, and in one day he's the richest, the next day he's the poorest. Zero. Well, his wife and everybody else is telling his three best friends, the three amigos. Not if anybody tells you don't trust, if any friend, supposed to be a friend, says don't trust God or anything like that, or curse God and just die. That's not a friend. You leave them and you go. Because those three guys were not great friends to Job. But Job, even though he had boils all over his body, even though it smelt bad, and he tried to scrape it because of the itch and the horror of it, he still looked up to God. That is an amazing thing to me. How he stood up strong. How David stood up strong. No matter what happened in their lives, they stood up strong. Now we know Job did nothing wrong. We know David did. You know, and he deserved maybe some things. But hey, haven't we all done some wrong? And we all deserve death. Honestly, we all deserve hell. I know we don't like to hear this, but honestly, we deserve hell. I don't even like to say it. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God that he loves us so much that he says, oh, no, 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 no. Hell is not for him or for her because they put their faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ. What a God we serve, people. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise be unto our God, huh? Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Come on, let's praise him and honor him. Hallelujah. Praise be unto our God. Hallelujah. For he is greatly to be praised. and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You may stand, please. Thank you, if you could. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.